Our scripture reading today comes from Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Therefore, as I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you for seeing us when we are fearful of the future. You understand our worry and our anxiety because you have been here before. Thank you for coming alongside us and for holding our hands. Thank you for standing with us in the fire. Help us to be able to hear you when you tell us that you have us in your arms. You know each of our names. You know our every need. When our worry builds and takes hold of our hearts, give us the courage to trust you completely. Help us to relinquish our cares into your hands and give us your peace that calms all fear. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks. You may be seated. Crack me up when Marissa said, before Easter, we need to pet goats. It's never Easter for me until I pet a goat. And that was funnier in my head than it was when I said it out loud there just a second ago. So, one of the best books that I read last year was a book by Stephen Ambrose called The Wild Blue. And it's a story, it's actually a historical account of the men and boys who flew the B-24 bombers during the Second World War. One name that you'll probably remember, those of you who are a little bit older, is George McGovern. He was a B-24 pilot, later became a U.S. senator and a presidential candidate in 1972. And so this book really does revolve around him and his crew. While he was running for president, he went for an interview in Austria. And this was a country that he had previously bombed in the Second World War. And the interviewer asked him a question: do you ever regret your bombing of targets such as Salzburg and Vienna and Innsbruck? Do you ever regret your bombing those targets during a time of war? And George McGovern said this. He said, there's only one bomb I regret dropping. And he recalled the exact date, March 14th, 1945. He remembers that date because he had learned on that day that his daughter had been born back in the United States. And it was high noon, and a bomb had been lodged in the bomb bay doors, and they were unable to free it. But when the guys back in the bomb bay finally did free it, McGovern looked down and noticed a small, peaceful farmhouse, and this bomb fell right down on that spot. And so he carried around with him for most of his life this idea that on the day he learned that he had brought life into the world, he also took an innocent family out of the world. We live in a messed up planet. We live in a wounded world. And not only do bad things happen to us, sometimes bad things happen through us. And there's a lot to be worried about. There's a lot to be concerned about in our world. In fact, anytime that I talk about fear or worry, I get the listeners lean that most of us have a lot to be concerned about in life. The best you're going to find in the world is bad advice. You know, we get the advice, don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff. That doesn't resonate with me because that doesn't take into account the sheer weight of life. So what makes Jesus' words any different? When Jesus says, and this is not a request, it's not a suggestion, it's a command, don't worry about your life. Maybe you really need to hear this today. Don't worry about your life. Now, this might sound like a step backwards, but it's actually a step forward. I would invite you this morning to really consider very deeply what you're concerned about. Because many of us are on the shallow surface of our worries, and it's called a little tool called what are you really afraid of tool. You take what you're afraid of, and okay, if that happens, and you just keep digging down deeper. Somebody here might say, well, I worry I'm not attractive, right? Looking out, some of you should worry about that. Yeah, I worry. Yeah, just somebody on this side of the room. Really, y'all are fine. This I know. So yeah, I'm not attractive. Well, why are you so worried about that? Well, you might be worried about that because then no one will want to marry me, and then I'll never have kids, and I'll die alone. So you keep drilling down until you really come to the conclusion of, I'm afraid of being alone. We drill down on that instead of just operating on the surface of our worries so that we can take that concern to God. God, here's what I'm really worried about. Now, Jesus gives some very practical teachings here. Don't worry about your life. And then what he does is he kind of parses this out. Don't worry about what you will eat or drink. For me, eating and drinking represents the idea of provision. Will we have enough? And one of the things that we're often worried about in our world, will we be able to provide for ourselves and our family? Will we have enough to live on? Jesus says, don't worry. God will provide. I love the moonshot missions in the 1960s. And I recently read that the Apollo 11 astronauts couldn't find an insurance company to insure their lives before they went to the moon. Yeah, what insurance company wanted to take that on? And they could have bought it, but it was well beyond their means of what they were making as astronauts. So the astronauts invented their own insurance policy. In the days of quarantine before going to the moon on Apollo 11, Michael Collins, Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, they took a bunch of envelopes on which was silk-screened a picture of the moon landing, and they all signed them, and secretly they gave these envelopes to their families. So that if they didn't come back, these things would be worth a lot of money and provide for their families and their futures. That's a creative idea, isn't it? And it's good to be creative to provide for our families, but we cannot become obsessed about that. And I'm speaking specifically to men. You will never have enough money to protect you from any and every contingency. At some point, you have to trust that God will provide. So don't worry about what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Whereas as eating and drinking is about provision, I look at what we wear, what we clothe, what we use as clothes, as protection. Do you trust that God will protect you? So in 1927, the American government developed a plan called Code Red. It was in case Canada decided to invade the United States. I'm so glad we had that. You know, you never know when those crazy Canadians are going to come down, right? When Canada found out about that in the 50s, it really did strain public relations. How silly is that? We want to have protection in life, but if we give way to that, all it does, if we see every friend as a potential enemy, too easily we may live a life of paranoia. Listen very carefully. Jesus says, don't worry about your life, what you will eat and drink, and about your body, what you will wear. We are called to live beyond a petty existence and a paranoid existence to a purposeful existence. And God says, I have your life in my hands. So every now and then I carry a pocket piece. I don't always carry one, but I'm a coin collector. I don't put my coins under plastic. I like to hold them and feel them. So the pocket piece I happen to be carrying around this year, for whatever reason, is an old penny. Now, if you can see it from where you are, it's a rather large penny. This is back when pennies were a lot bigger. This penny is from 1817. It's 200 years old. And for me, coin collecting is the closest thing I will ever get to time travel. To hold this and to wonder who held this for the first time. What were their lives like? What did they spend this on? Who was the collector that put this aside in their collection for the first time that I would hold it today? 200 years old. Whoever held this 200 years ago, God saw them through the length of their lives. And what was true in 1817 is still true in 2017. God has you in his hands. Do not worry about your life. Don't worry about the provision and protection. I got it. Okay. Now, Jesus goes on from there to illustrate. Consider the birds of the sky and observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. Now, these are both very simple pictures. In fact, they're kind of simplistic pictures. And I think even in this, there's a bit of teaching. Okay. God gave you a brain. He gave you a brain to use so that you can think rationally and creatively about your life. And then when you become worried because of our thoughts, we have faith. But the problem is most of us go from thinking to faith to overthinking. Is anybody else in here an overthinker? Yeah, I think many of us are. And so just by the virtue of giving us some very simple pictures, Jesus is saying to us, don't overthink this. You don't have to overthink life. Think through things, but then choose to have faith. And Jesus is so creative. Wherever you look, up or down, there's a reminder not to worry. Either up at the birds or down at the wildflowers. Everywhere we look, there's this reminder. So mayflies are one of the shortest-lived insects on the planet. A mayfly, there's 2,400 different species of mayflies. Most of them live only a single day. Their whole life is compressed into 24 hours. For you and I, an hour would equal 3 years. Some mayflies only live half as long as that. But just because they're brief doesn't mean they are not also beautiful. And on the eternal scope of things, our lives are so brief. But listen, you are created wonderfully. You are beautiful. And you are beloved. What I also like about Jesus' teaching here, his illustration, is he seems to give some indications about male and female. And I do believe that men and women worry in different ways and worry about different things. Okay? So birds is actually a masculine word there. And Jesus says the birds do not sow or reap, which are men's activities in Jesus' day. Okay? Women, especially if you're married, it is very difficult. You need to understand that a man cannot compartmentalize his work. You say, why can't he just leave his work at work? Doesn't work that way for men. Because working is what we are meant to do. So when two men meet, what is the first thing they'll ask each other? How are you feeling today? How's your emotional state? How's your hair? We don't ask those things. When two men meet for the first time, they ask, what do you do? Okay. Because now I'm making some broad generalizations here. Please don't read any sexist comments into this. I'm just dealing with reality. Okay. So for men, it's really hard to compartmentalize work. Okay. So Jesus says men tend to worry about that kind of stuff. Observe how the wildflowers grow. That's a feminine word. And Jesus talking about wildflowers, labor and spinning, which were women's tasks in Jesus' day. Men, as we cannot compartmentalize work, you need to understand that women cannot compartmentalize family. If something is wrong in the family, then everything is wrong. I mean, doesn't the Bible say, if mama ain't happy, no, I think it's in there somewhere, isn't it? It should be, right? So here's the deal. God has given us a gracious gift, especially if you're married. If you don't understand why your spouse worries about certain things, that is actually a blessing in disguise. Because if you are both worried about the same thing in the same ways, you would drive each other crazy. So thank God that your spouse has some worries that you don't, and that you have some worries that he or she doesn't, because you can borrow each other's strength when life gets worrisome and troublesome. So what I said in the first service, I said, hey, it's as simple as the birds and the bees. I kind of messed up in the first service. It's as simple as the birds and the flowers. We have different kinds of worries. All right. Now, here's where we're bringing it down to the application. As followers of Jesus, we are subject to the same kind of concerns and worries that everyone else is subject to. There's no magical exemption for a follower of Jesus. As a follower of Jesus, we are subject to the same worries as everyone else. But as followers of Jesus, we don't have to be slaves to the same worries as everyone else. Look at what Jesus says. So don't worry saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. I want you to lock in on the four words, and I made sure they landed on the second to last line. Your heavenly Father knows. Would you just breathe in those words this morning? Your heavenly Father knows. I'm reminded here of Exodus chapter 3. When Moses meets God at the burning bush, the Israelites had been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. God says, I've seen, I've heard, and I am concerned. God sees you. He hears you. He is concerned. Your heavenly Father knows. So we have the same concerns. We are subject to the same concerns as everyone else, but we don't have to be slaves to those same concerns because we have a heavenly Father who watches over us. So let me give some practical applications here. That if you're a worrisome person, as I tend to be, I've learned some things the hard way. So here's just some practical application. Whatever you're worried about, please don't keep it to yourself. Whatever you're worried about or afraid about, don't lock it up inside, because worry and fear, like sin, loves to get us in a corner by ourselves. And if we feel like that we're the only one in the world who's dealing with these issues, it will eat you up. So this is a personal experience for me. A couple of years ago, I had a silly health concern that was more here than it was in my body. And I was bottling it all up on the inside. And finally, Paula came home one night, and I just, blah. That's why you get married, so you have somebody you can just, blah, you can do that with. And after I talked to her, she said, I don't understand, I don't get it, but thank you for sharing that with me. And after I talked with her, it was the weirdest feeling, because nothing had changed, but everything had changed. And that now I wasn't alone anymore. If you're wearing some kind of worry around, the weight of fear is on top of you. Listen, you got to share it with somebody you trust. This is why we're in a faith community, and I think actually we do a pretty lousy job of this in churches many times, because we're supposed to all have our lives together and look happy on Sunday. But the reality is, life's tough, and we have this community to share the weight of it with you. Second, I would say that if you're worried at the time you don't feel like acting, that's the very time you do act. If worry or fear has you paralyzed, just take the next step forward. I've learned when you're overwhelmed in life, just do the next thing. One foot up, one foot down, that's the way to London Town. Take that next step. Morse Frank. Morse Frank was a man who lived about a century ago. He lost vision in one eye in a horse riding accident, and then he probably wasn't too smart, but he lost vision in the other eye in a boxing accident. And so here he's in the mid-20s, nearly blind. He heard about, and in fact an article was read to him from the Saturday Evening Post, about researchers in Switzerland who were using dogs to help World War I veterans. So he hitched a ride on a boat, went over to Switzerland, and this was in a day where if you were blind, you just learned how to read Braille and didn't do much with your life. So he went over and learned what he could, and he came back, and with two other men, he founded the first service animal organization in America. It was called the Seeing Eye, which is why we often refer to them as the Seeing Eye Dogs, and placed 15,000 service animals with owners. Here was a guy that had every right to be worried about the dark days ahead, but he just did the next thing in front of him. I encourage you, if fear or worry has you paralyzed, get moving. So here's the final application. I said last week, and I believe this is true, that money reveals our priorities. The way we spend our money reveals our priorities. You can tell what you really value by what you spend your money on. I believe the same is true of time. You say, well, I don't have time for that thing that's really important. If it's important, you will make time for it. So money, time, and worry reveals your real priorities. Whatever you're concerned about shows what you care about. Listen, I still on Saturday, even after doing this for 20 years, Saturday afternoon, my blood pressure starts to go up a little bit. And I get a little keyed up and a little nervous about Sunday because I care about what happens here. Okay? We're concerned about what we care about. So, if you deal with worry and if you deal with fear, I believe that is a sin. We confess it. We ask for God's help. We ask for the Holy Spirit's assistance. But we can also use that as a prompt to pray. Whatever you're concerned about, whatever you are worried about is an opportunity to pray. Just like you don't keep it a secret from other people, don't keep it a secret to God. God, here's what I'm really concerned about. Now I need you to take this. Put it in his hands. Use it as an opportunity for prayer. So George McGovern gave this interview with an Australian TV station. He talked about that one bomb that he dropped that he wished he hadn't. Later that night, after the interview was aired, a man called the TV station and said, "Would you get a message to George McGovern for me? It was my farmhouse that he bombed on March 14th, 1945. I know the date. It was high noon. We saw the bomber coming, and so our family got out of the house and ran and hid in a ditch. Everyone was safe. Everyone was fine." He said, "What I realized then is what I still believe today. I hated Hitler. And I realized then that if bombing my farmhouse would at least shorten the war by a single minute, I was glad that it happened." Isn't that amazing? The interesting thing is, many of the things that we're worried about never happen. And never have happened. And never will happen. And if they do happen, they're not going to be as bad as we have imagined them. Because your heavenly Father knows. He sees. He hears. He is concerned for each one of his children. Let's stand together and let's pray together today. Father, I thank you that you know. And if we just carry those four words with us, your heavenly Father knows. If we carry those words in with our heart this week, it might just change the way we see the world. Thank you that as your children, that we have the same concerns as other people, but we do not have to be slaves to those concerns. Father, I pray especially for those in here today who have not yet called you Father. In fact, I want to give you just a moment. If you do not know Christ Jesus as your Lord and God as your Father, you are doing life on your own, and you are vulnerable. Today may be the very day where you make a very simple confession: Jesus is Lord. When you step into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, God forgives us of our sin, and he becomes a father to those who have faith in him. Maybe this is the moment for you to invite Christ into your life right now. God, thank you as your children. We do not need to worry. And even though you already know what's going on, you want us to tell you. You want us to share that with you and to give our lives into your hands. So I pray over every person in here today. The worries and concerns that we have that are unique to each one of us, you understand, you know, you hear, you see. For those who are worried about their past, would you offer forgiveness? For those who are worried about your future, would you give your companionship? For those who are worried about today, would we feel your presence right here in this moment and know that you care and you have us in your hands? God, we love you and thank you that as your followers, we do not face life alone. So help us to not overthink that, but to live this week in faith. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we offer our prayer. Amen.